Today, brace. Markets caught in a volatile trap as war, jobs, and credit risks all hit. Hello again, it's Mars North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and problem news. This is our weekly Muckler Update, where we start in the US, cross to Europe and Asia, and in Australia, and cover commodities and crypto along the way. As expected, the broadening conflict in the Middle East spooked markets, as oil rose, with WTI up more than 35% and LNG gas futures up 67%. As I discussed with Tarek Brooker, the consequences of the closure of the Straits of Hormuz and the destruction or closure of production facilities will cast a long shadow, even if the immediate conflict were to end. In a move to ease some supply concerns, the US announced it would allow the sale of Russian oil to India for a period of 30 days, but the strategy remains at best muddled. Bank of America strategist Michael Harnett said a prolonged Iran war would reshape global asset allocations, favoring commodities, the US dollar, and defense-linked sectors, while creating risks for regions heavily dependent on imported energy. Asset allocation shifts to beneficiaries of extended conflict, oil, the US dollar, US tech, global defense, at the expense of oil importers with minimal energy equity exposure, with Korea, Japan, and Europe standing out in that group, he said in a report. Beyond that, the private credit sector cockroaches were still on parade again this week, with BlackRock limiting withdrawals as they froze $1.2 billion in withdrawal requests at its private credit fund. Tick tock. And with inflation already hot and sure to spike higher on the direct and indirect impacts of the war on Iran, bond yields rose, while markets had the shakes, allowing volatility players to profit from the wild ride. Cash suddenly seems a safe haven for now. Gold futures fell 1.7% for the week and Bitcoin rose 1.26% in volatile trading. The global MSCI index was down 3.72% for the week, back to close to the start of the year. And the Stoxx 600 in Europe fell 5.5% over the 5 days. And the Asia ex Japan dropped more than 8%, although it's still 5% higher for the year. The ASX 200 in Australia fell 3.8% for the week. That's the biggest decline since April, when the Trump administration doled out wide-reaching tariffs. The ASX 200 futures are still pointing to a further drop on Monday. Some will be buying the dip, but the question now is, where is the real floor? US stocks ended low on Friday, though off from their session lows, as a double whammy of softer-than-expected labour market data and soaring oil prices battered sentiment. The benchmark S&P 500 shed 1.4%, to close at 6,738, paring back a loss of as much as 1.7%, but still down 2% for the week. The tech-heavy NASDAQ slid 1.6% to 22,387, eating into a decline of as much as 1.7%, and the blue-chip Dow slipped 1% to conclude at 47,501, pulling back from a fall as much as 2% following a shock US February jobs report, and of course those worries that the widening US-Israeli war against Iran could push oil prices sharply higher. It was down 3% for the week. Suddenly, buying the US, who is swimming in oil, is more attractive than Asia or Europe, who need to import to meet their needs, with reserves under pressure. China has told major refiners to suspend exports of diesel and gasoline, reflecting efforts to prioritize domestic needs. And elsewhere, Japanese refiners asked their government to release oil from strategic reserves. And yet, US non-farm payrolls fell by 92,000 jobs last month. Economists had expected 60,000 additions. Actually, the US lost an average of 1,000 jobs per month over the last 6 months, the fourth of the last 5 months with a negative six-month moving average. This is the 12th time we've seen this much weakness in the jobs market since the 1950s, and in the 11 previous times the US economy was in a recession. The jobless rate edged up to 4.4%, and the participation rate fell to 62% in February. That's the lowest level since December 2021. Household employment dropped 185,000, accounting for the increase in the unemployment rate from 4.3% in January. The Federal Reserve's next policy meeting is set for March the 17th and 18th. Stagflation could be on the table. Higher energy prices tend to pressure corporate margins and consumer spending, while also complicating the Federal Reserve's efforts to bring inflation under control. Economists still expect the Fed to keep its benchmark overnight interest rate at 3.5 to 3.75% at its March meeting. But there was some good news for households. Average hourly earnings rose 0.4% after a similar gain in January. In the 12 months through to February, wages increased 3.8% after advancing 3.7% in January. Solid wages growth should help to underpin consumer spending, although rising gasoline prices pose a challenge. Also on Friday's economic calendar was the January retail sales data. The headline numbers slipped 0.2% month over month, better than anticipated, but the core number was flat, which was worse than expected. The Atlanta Fed slashed its model, now casts for real GDP growth in the March quarter to 2.1% from 3% on March the 2nd after release of the last month's jobs data. And a month ago, the now cast was at 4.2%, going down. As for oil, the potential for further Middle East production and shipping interruptions flared. Qatar's energy minister told the Financial Times that crude oil could soar to $150 a barrel in 2 to 3 weeks if tankers and other merchant vessels were unable to pass through the straits. Goldman Sachs warned that a prolonged closure of the Strait of Hormuz waterway, which typically carries a fifth of global oil flows, could lift prices far higher, although the bank's case at present is for a gradual recovery of shipments and futures to around $76 a barrel in the second quarter. But of course, that assumes an early end of hostilities. All seven of the Magnificent Seven ended lower. Nvidia fell 3%. The PLX Semiconductor Sector Index shed 3.9%. Oracle and OpenAI scrapped plans to expand a flagship artificial intelligence data center in Texas after negotiations dragged over financing and OpenAI's changing needs. Marvel Technology lifted its full-year revenue outlook thanks to strong ongoing data center spending by AI hyperscalers. Megacap companies like Amazon and Microsoft have made AI a central focus of operations and plan to shell out billions of dollars to rapidly build out the data centers that power and train the nascent technology. Firms like Marvel, which designs and proves the internal plumbing that connects data between large-scale computer systems, have been key beneficiaries of the heavy spending. Elsewhere, close retailer Gap, fiscal year 2026 guidance disappointed investors concerned about tariff headwinds, while retailer Costco Wholesale Corp reported higher revenue and profit for the second quarter. Next week, the US Consumer Price Index for February is due on Wednesday, following a cooler than expected January report for the closely watched inflation measure. But markets may discount any report that is tame because it covers a period almost entirely before the Middle East conflict. But a surprise spike in inflation could be particularly problematic. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammock signaled on Friday that the US central bank may be forced to weigh tighter monetary policy later this year if inflation progress stalls, even as the cooling labor market adds a new layer of complexity to the Fed's dual mandate. She noted it was too early to know the full impact of the recent oil spike, which has seen crude oil futures surge significantly. Higher gasoline prices risk unmooring inflation expectations, potentially forcing the Fed to hold rates higher for longer, despite signs of a spluttering job market. Yeah, as I said, stagflation. The remarks come as the US dollar index retreated 0.16% and the 10-year Treasury yield settled at 4.13%. Surging oil and gas prices have reawakened fears of a 2022-style energy crunch. But the question is there a sense of panic at the moment? Well, possibly not. For starters, the classic indicators of market stress in times of turmoil, such as corporate bond spreads and the VIX volatility index, have not really flared up that much, suggesting possibly investors still believe US President Donald Trump's assertion that the conflict maybe resolved soon, or maybe they're just slow to come to a different conclusion. In addition, the vast amount of capital that had pooled in some popular trades from gold to emerging market assets have been deployed to plug losses elsewhere and to insulate portfolios, at least for now. The most recent Bank of America monthly survey of global fund managers showed 50% believed owning gold, which has risen 50% in the last year, was the most crowded trade, followed by owning big tech stocks, while more asset managers were overweight emerging equities than any time in the last 5 years. Now, it's these assets that have been hammered in the last week, along with bonds, which have encountered their worst week's sell-off in almost a year, as inflation expectations have jumped, upending interest rate expectations. Derivatives like cross-currency basis swaps, which reflect demand from foreign investors for dollars, or swap spreads, and which can reflect risk appetite, and even junk bond indexes, have been actually largely stable, and the VIX is standing at around 29 at the moment, having risen by the most in a week since last November. But this is still a far cry from a doubling in value to a record 60 following Trump's Liberation Day last April, so it's a matter of perspective, I guess. The recent escalation of the conflict in the Middle East has pushed global markets into a risk-off mode, but analysts at Barclays said the shift has so far been orderly rather than panic-driven. In a note to clients on Friday, they said that while investors have reduced exposure to riskier assets, the de-risking remains orderly, with little evidence of broad-based panic selling so far. Market weakness has been concentrated outside the US, particularly in regions that has previously outperformed and therefore are more vulnerable to higher energy prices. By contrast, US assets have shown relative resilience, prompting investors to pause a broader shift away from American markets. Barclays noted that sell America and rotation towards the rest of the world equity markets have paused given the lower sensitivity of US assets to energy costs. European stocks extended declines on Friday, overturning earlier gains as sentiment remained fragile due to soft US employment data and the ongoing war in the Middle East. The DAX in Germany declined by 1.1%, the CAC 40 in France shed 0.7%, and the FTSE 100 in the UK dropped 1.2%. Eurozone gross domestic product grew 0.2% in the final 3 months of 2025, slightly below expectations, while recording annual growth of just 1.2%. But the question now, of course, is the impact of high energy prices in the weeks and months ahead. And there were also more quarterly earnings for investors to wade through on Friday, with the quarterly reporting season gradually drawing to a close. Lufthansa posted record annual revenue in 2025, but a slim operating margin as the German flagship airline brand barely broke even, and management stopped short of quantifying 2026 profit guidance, citing, guess what, Middle East uncertainty. IMI announced a £500 million share buyback after British Fluid and Motion Control Group posted a fifth consecutive year of mid-single-digit organic revenue growth. Universal Music Group, the world's biggest music label, reported a decline in net profit attributable to shareholders and also put plans for a stock market listing in the US on hold. And Axel Springer reached an agreement with Redbird IMI to acquire the Telegraph Media Group for £575 million in cash. UK house prices climbed to a fresh record in February, with the average property now valued at £301,151. That's according to data released on Friday by Halifax. Property prices increased by 0.3% in February, following a 0.8% rise in January. The annual growth accelerated to 1.3%, up from 1.1% in January, marking the strongest rate in 4 months. Since the start of the year, average prices have risen by around £3,000. Just look at Australia. That's how to make house prices rise. Asian stocks were mixed on Friday, but remained on track for sharp weekly losses as escalating conflict in the Middle East and a surge in oil prices weighed on investor sentiment across the region. The spike in crude prices weighed heavily on Asian equities and currencies, particularly in major oil importing economies like South Korea. South Korea's KOSPI fell 1% on Friday and was set for a weekly slump of nearly 6%, but wobbled more during the week. Japan's Nikkei 225 edged 0.6% higher, but dropped 6% across the week. And Japan has formally requested assurance from the US that Tokyo will not be sidelined by Washington's latest trade measures. The US dollar-Japanese yen pair responded to the growing trade uncertainty, ticking up to 157.8. In China, Shanghai Composites and Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 indices fell 1% this week, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 2%, but still managed a 1% weekly decline. India's Nifty 50 index edged lower for a 2.89% fall this week, although India's defence stocks rose 4.9%, marking their fourth consecutive week of gains with a total increase of 9.9% over the period, the longest winning streak since June, and year-to-date, India's defence sector is more than 10% higher. The Australian share market suffered its biggest weekly fall in a year as the war in the Middle East roiled global energy markets and heightened inflation risks. The ASX 200 fell 3.8% for the week. That's the biggest decline since April, when the Trump administration doled out wide-reaching tariffs. The benchmark dropped 1% to 8,851, wiping out February's 3.7% gain. With oil higher on the ASX, Woodside Energy rose 1% to $30.75, and Santos gained 1.9% to $7.46, even as Chief Executive Kevin Gallagher sold down $5.6 million worth of shares. Viva Energy rose 1.5% to $2.10 after UBS reiterated its buy rating. Gold miners were dumped as the precious metal suffered its first weekly drop in more than a month, as investors rotated into the US dollar. Catalyst Metals fell 11.3% to $7.04, West Gold Resources fell 8.2% to $6.63, and Newmont dropped 2.6% to $165.14. Iron ore miners were dumped despite iron ore rising above $101 a ton, as China's state-backed buyer urged traders to stop purchasing new BHP cargo after finding they'd breached existing purchase restrictions. BHP dropped 4.2% to $50.81, Rio Tinto 3.6% down to $158.67, and Fortescue fell 0.7% to $19.25. Tech jumped 4.6%, best performing sector actually, as Wise Tech Global soared 10.8% to $50.72, and Zero by 4.5% to $87.63, but of course they're still way, way down from earlier highs. Banks were all down, with CBA at $172.47, NAB at $46.82, Westpac at $41, and ANZ at $37.64. Macquarie was at just over $200. In corporate news, Magellan Financial soared 9.3% to $11.55, as the Rich List's Lowy family took a 5.1% stake in the group. It comes after Magellan announced a merger with Barrenjoey. SkyCity Entertainment fell 4.2%, 69 cents, as it faced potential class action proceedings over its online casino operations in New Zealand. SkyCity said it denies any liability and will defend the proceedings. Uranium miner Deep Yellow dropped 11.8% to $2.17 after it reported a half-year loss of $7.78 million, widening from a $2.47 million drop a year ago. The Aussie was at 70.3 US cents and 52.4 UK pence, and the two-year bond was up to 4.451%, again flagging higher rates ahead. Bitcoin retreated on Friday, falling below the key $70,000 level as the escalating conflict in the Middle East drove oil prices higher and clouded the outlook for global inflation and interest rates. The world's largest cryptocurrency was last down 4%, to 67,931, having briefly jumped above 74,000 earlier in the week, leaving it still on track for a weekly gain of just over 1%. Crypto sentiment remains fragile as geopolitical tensions intensified after US and Israeli strikes on Iran triggered retaliatory missile and drone attacks across the region, with war entering its seventh day. The shift in rate expectations helped the US dollar gain ground this week, putting pressure on several risk assets. A stronger greenback also weighed on commodities, with gold on track for a weekly decline despite ongoing geopolitical tensions. Most altcoins also fell on Friday, extending losses amid a cautious mood. World number two crypto Ethereum shed 4.6% to $1,984. Ahead, March is the month for a raft of central bank policy meetings, with the Reserve Bank of Australia set for the 17th of March. The Fed's decision will follow on March the 18th in Australia, as will the Bank of Canada, and on the 19th, the European Central Bank, the Bank of England, and the Bank of Japan will all follow, but all eyes will be on the war in Iran and the fallout, which already looks significant. So we can expect more volatility and uncertainty, and keep an eye on those private credit markets too, as this is becoming quite an issue, although largely crowded out, along with Ukraine and the financial pressure on ordinary households around the place. Actually, next Tuesday's live show will focus on Australian households and their financial situation based on our survey. So join us then to ask a question live. But meantime, brace, brace, brace. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.